Welcome to Orchard Conversations, a podcast brought to you by the Orchard community.
Friends, welcome to our digital liturgy and podcast for the week of January 14th, 2024. My name is Benjamin Thomas. So glad that you're joining us. We are in the season of Epiphany. Epiphany is a season of awakening to God all around us, in us, speaking to us through all things, all creation. And so as we begin today, we're going to start with a call to presence, a responsive call to presence. So we invite you, however you're listening to this, watching this, to just chime in and respond simply with, "Speak now, your servant is listening." Would you try that with me? "Speak now, your servant is listening." Let's take a moment to center ourselves. As we gather in this sacred space, let us open our hearts to the whispers of the divine witnessed in all creation, echoed through song and story, embodied in every soul we encounter. We respond, "Speak now, your servant is listening." In the inner sanctuary of our souls, we seek guidance, longing for the touch of divine goodness that brings renewal to weary spirits. We respond, "Speak now, your servant is listening." Let us find strength in our interdependence, celebrating the bonds that unite us in a shared journey of faith and discovery. We respond, "Speak now, your servant is listening." May we extend hospitality to all souls walking paths of peacemaking with humility and an open heart. Let's respond, "Speak now, your servant is listening." Let's take a moment in silence and stillness together. In moments of waiting and silence, may we listen deeply, cultivating curiosity and a willingness to be transformed by what we hear. We respond, "Speak now, your servant is listening." Would you sing this with me? All of me is here now. All of me is here. All of me is here right now. All of me is here. Try it with me, really simple. All of me is here. All of me is here now. All of me is here. All of me is here right. All of me is here. I want to invite you into just a short contemplation exercise. Standing at this particular moment, at the very beginning of a new year, I want to ask a question. What are the beautiful things that you are celebrating? What are the beautiful things that you are celebrating? What are the joys that you're experiencing? We bring those to this space together. They are welcome. Anything that you're celebrating. Let's sing. All of me is here now. The beautiful things. All of me is here. All of me is here. Right now. All of me is here. Next, I invite you to bring your fears. What are you fearing right now? What are the fears that you're experiencing in life right now? Maybe fears about this upcoming season or things that are kind of creeping up on you that you're afraid of for this new year. Take a moment, recognize them, acknowledge them. rather good. Your fears are pointing you somewhere. And your fears are welcome in this space, and God welcomes your fears here. Let's sing. All of me is here now. All of me is here. All of me is here right now. All of me is here. Next, what joys are you calling in with expectation? What celebrations are you looking forward to having? What are you anticipating are the beautiful things that will transpire in the next 12 months? Bring them in. Get hopeful. Get big. Dream out loud. Take a big deep breath and respond. All of me is here. Last time, bringing all the parts of us here. All of me is here now. All of me is here. All of me is here right now. All of me.
Hello, friends. Ina Hammond here. Let's begin with a breath and a prayer. Open our ears, O Lord, to hear your voice in the stories of old and the whispers of today. Guide our hearts to respond with open minds and spirits, ready to follow your light wherever it may lead. Amen. So one of the lovely things about the lectionary is the way that it takes parts of the Bible that we would normally never read next to one another or in the context of one another and weaves them together into something more than what they are by themselves. Today's lectionary readings for this second Sunday of Epiphany, the story of God calling Samuel, of Jesus calling the skeptical disciple Nathaniel, and Psalm 139, all nudge us toward a truth that affects the way that we listen, know, and encounter God. The Renaissance scholar Erasmus put it this way, and Carl Jung liked it so much that he had it carved into his home and even his tombstone, which is this simple phrase: bidden or unbidden, God is present. We forget this, and often. Whether we want God around or not, whether we are conscious of God's presence in the room or in our souls or not, whether we ask God to show up, to remember us, to guide us or not, God is present. And that's a major theme in all of these Epiphany stories in this season between Christmas and Lent. Remember, we are focusing on God's revealing to us, which is like turning the light on in a dark room. We did not see, we did not know, we did not understand, we forgot. But the things in the room are still there, beyond our sight and knowing. Epiphany is a time when we focus on the stories of God brightening up the place so we can see truth. And this week, we are reminded that God is always in the room with us, no matter how dark. God is not somewhere else waiting for us to arrive, waiting for us to achieve the next step in the career ladder or to lose 10 pounds or to become better parents or to retire or to get through this time of crisis, whatever that is. Bidden or unbidden, God is present. The story of Samuel starts with the words, "The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread." We're going to start at the beginning of one of these great stories of the Bible, a story full of irony and amusement. The amusement comes because there is actually a play on words with these Hebrew names. I'll get to that in a second. So the story begins, "It is night and everyone is asleep. We're told the flame of God had not yet gone out," which feels like it might have a double meaning, doesn't it? "And in the darkness of the tabernacle, the Lord called Samuel, Samuel, which means God has heard. And Samuel responded, 'Here I am,' and ran to the priest, a man named Eli, whose name means my God, L-I. So in the story, God has heard, here's God, thinking it is my God, Eli, speaking instead of the true God. See, it's a bit of a pun. The irony comes from the fact that God's voice was apparently unexpected, even in the tabernacle of all places, the place where God was supposed to dwell. It was still surprising to hear God. Three times we see this happen. It's always three, isn't it? It is only after God speaks repeatedly that Eli, this older man, this wiser man, realizes and instructs the boy Samuel that when God calls him again, he should answer, "Speak, your servant is listening." So that is what Samuel does, because God did call him again. God is always calling. In the stillness of the night, with darkness encroaching, with the lamp of God flickering, God was finally heard. And this story marks a turning point in the larger story of Scripture. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. People did not expect to hear God. Now, we know that Eli's sons were priests. Of all the people who should have been turned into this sacred voice, they certainly should have been. But we're told in 1 Samuel that Eli's sons are scoundrels. Instead of being responsible and filling this priestly role with integrity, these two sons abused their office. When people brought sacrifices to be placed on the altar, these men would intimidate them into allowing them to keep the best parts for themselves. They took advantage of the women who worked at the entrance to the tabernacle. They abused the trust that had been placed in them by God and by the people. They abused their power. Their hearts were not beating with love for God, but with love for power and wealth. And I see some parallels in this story to our modern time. Do you? It feels like a new clergy scandal pops up in the news way too often. And when our neighbors observe all of this from the outside, it's really no wonder that they are inclined to call themselves spiritual, but not religious. When churches and Christians align with power and wealth, they fall out of step with the voice of God. But there are still prophetic voices calling out to the church in the 21st century, the church in America, calling us back to pay attention to God's voice calling. In that tradition of the first prophet, Samuel, on through Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, Micah, John the Baptist, and for us, Jesus of Nazareth, who is in the prophetic tradition but is so much more than a prophet. These are the voices on the edges, the voices speaking against corruption and oppression, and they are there. And that story begins here with Samuel. And I find comfort in that because, like Samuel, we don't always recognize the voice of God. We don't always hear, let alone truly listen. But God is always present and always ready for conversation. God is always calling us into a new thing. The voices that we are listening to matter, friends. Are we listening to voices that remind us that God is calling, that encourage us to answer with, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening"? Or are we listening to voices that fuel our desire for power and wealth? With most of 2024 ahead of us, this is a good reminder to be thoughtful about what we are putting into our hearts and bodies. After all, our hearts and bodies are where God meets us. And God is always meeting us because, remember, bidden or unbidden, God is present. And speaking of our bodies, our psalm reading this week comes from Psalm 139, which is a creation psalm, but not one about the vast mysteries of the heavens and the earth, or the beauty of mountains and butterflies, but about God's own ongoing work in bringing us to the fullness of life, the unwrapping of the mystery of each of us as unique individuals. This psalm often feels like a warm embrace, bringing comfort and giving strength. God is involved in our lives in such an intimate, knowledgeable way. The psalmist writes, verses 1 and 2, "O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away." The intensity and intimacy of this scripture passage is awesome. This is a conversation between two entities who know each other, who interact together, the human writer and the God of wonders. Verse 13, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb." It's a bit overwhelming, honestly, the intimacy there. It even feels a little bit uncomfortable to be so fully known that there is not a word on our lips or a hair on our heads that God does not know. God is always present, pressing up on us from behind and before. There is nowhere we can go to escape God. As the psalmist writes in the middle verses, "I can never escape your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me." This psalm reminds us of the easy to overlook, but incredibly powerful truth that God is always with us in all that we do and wherever we go. And it's easy for us, I think, at some points in our lives, for some of us, the way that we're wired, it's easy to feel like this is not true. Just like it's easy to think that since the word of the Lord is rare in these days, that God is missing from the picture. It's easy to feel like we are separated from God. I mean, look at the Psalms. They're absolutely full of poets lamenting and crying out, feeling as though God has hidden from them, that God has turned away from them. So I think this is very human, right? This tendency. And so I don't want you to feel guilt if you've been feeling this winter of the soul feeling of being separated from God. That's why we have Epiphany. To remind us of the truth. I believe there are seasons of faith when we know things to be true deep in our hearts because they feel true. But there are also seasons when we have to choose the things that are true, even when they don't feel true. And as an Enneagram 4, this is wisdom that I have had to work very hard to learn because feelings are everything to us 4s. Friends, wherever you are today, however near or far you feel from God's presence, I hope you will open your heart to this truth. Bidden or unbidden, God is present. But if you're feeling skeptical, that's okay too. That's why I like the lectionary, because our third story, our gospel reading, is about a skeptic. Jesus says, "Follow me, come and see." In this season of Epiphany, we explore the manifestation of Jesus, stories that began with his baptism last week and now lead us into a deeper knowledge of who he was and is and how he was among us. So today we hear the Gospel of John's version of Jesus calling the disciples, and we zero in on the story of Philip and Nathanael. As far as the action goes, there's actually not a lot here. Jesus finds Philip and says to him, "Follow me." And that was enough for Philip. The story mentions that Philip was from Andrew and Peter's hometown, and those two had already begun to follow Jesus. And so I bet that helped. That helped Philip, probably, knowing that his friends were on board. But then Philip goes to his friend, Nathanael, and he excitedly tells him that they have found this guy, this teacher that must be the one that Moses and all the prophets wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth. And did Nathanael immediately have an epiphany? Did Nathanael immediately sense God's presence? No, Nathanael was skeptical. "Nazareth," exclaimed Nathanael, verse 46. "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Being from Aurora, Illinois, sometimes you feel that way about Aurora. Can anything good come out of here? Oh, how skeptical and judgmental we can get, am I right? Now, I know that good things come out of Aurora. I love Aurora very much. But every now and then, that inner cynic, she's got a voice. Scripture says, "When he saw Jesus and Jesus knew him on sight, Nathanael believed and proclaimed Jesus the Son of God, the King of Israel." What led these men to make such a radical decision to come and see and then follow? We don't see a miracle that Jesus performed here or any teaching. It seems to be enough that they encountered Jesus, even if they weren't expecting it. Follow me. Come and see. And I have to wonder if Nathanael continued to feel skeptical at first. We go from here to the wedding at Cana, which is Jesus' first miracle. So maybe he's following along because his friends were part of it, and he's choosing to step out in faith. Or maybe Jesus' words about the fig tree, which echo this prophecy in Micah that in the days of God, everyone will sit under their own vine and fig tree. And these words about a fig tree, maybe that was the little key that unlocked it for Nathanael. We don't know. What we do know is that this story can be a reminder that our job as followers of Jesus is to pay attention and keep our hearts open so that when the work of God is revealed to us, we are ready to listen. Our posture is that of come and see. Later in John, Jesus says to his disciples, "My Father is always working." And we can respond if we choose. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And we can follow that invitation to come and see. Because we remember during Epiphany that God is always calling, waiting for us to respond. God is always present, whether we feel that presence or not. And God is always working, whether we are paying attention or not. Bidden or unbidden, God is present. Our choice, and I would say our invitation, is to respond to God's voice as best we can, to practice the presence of God as best we can, and to pay attention, and if it is right, to join in, to come alongside and work to build the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Each of these stories about listening, knowing, and encountering God has wisdom to offer us. We are all on our own journey with God, and so I'm always hesitant to give prescriptive advice about how you can do these things. And so instead, as we always do, I want to give you some questions to consider. And the first is this: where do you see yourself in these stories, in these scriptures? Is it in Samuel, learning to hear the voice of God? Is it in Eli, learning to help someone else? Or is it in Eli's sons who needed to change their ways? Is it in the psalmist, learning to have profound intimacy with the Creator? Is it Nathanael or Philip, the other disciples, either ready to jump in or skeptical and on guard? The second question I invite you to consider is, have you ever felt a sense of God working in your life or in the life of someone close to you? And the key to this question is this, what helped you notice that? The truth of the matter, which we see in these stories, is that even when we are directly confronted by the divine, it is possible for us to be oblivious to God's presence in our lives. We may know intellectually that God is always present, but sometimes it takes a few times before we catch on and pay attention. And so sometimes looking back at a time when we had a sense of God's voice or God's actions, God's work in our lives, can help us to remember the posture or circumstances or attitude or situation at the time so that we can pay a little bit better as we move forward. And the third question is, how can you stay present and mindful in order to listen and to follow? I would hazard a guess that it is safe to say that we need to say and pray, "Speak, for your servant is listening," a lot more often. Maybe you need to lean more into that truth that God knows you, that God is always with you, that God is never elsewhere. Sometimes listening and following require a lot of courage and require going against the flow of normal human behavior. Finding our identity in God as beloved and connected children of God is an immense sort of strength that we can tap into for that work. Or maybe what you need to do is more practical. Maybe there is too much hum and noise in your life. Maybe you don't have moments when you are still and quiet in the dark, able to hear your own thoughts, able to hear the still small voice. Now, God's voice can certainly cut through the noise, but there is a lot of wisdom in creating a spiritual rhythm for your life that has space to be quiet and to listen for the voice of God, whether that's prayer or meditation, going on walks, journaling. There are many spiritual practices that you can use to quiet down and become present. And this is worthwhile because God is waiting for us in ordinary, mundane encounters. So when we are positioned to look for God in the ordinary, we will find God, because bidden or unbidden, God is present. This spiritual truth offers us a way to live our lives. It reminds us that through everything, the daily things, the celebrations, the heartaches, we are always in the middle of a conversation with God, invited to listen, invited to know that we are loved, and invited to join the great journey, the collective of those of us who belong to Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, friends, for joining us today. We hope that you've received something meaningful that will continue to do its work in you this week. Now, before we go, I wanted to take a moment and remind you that the Orchard Community is a fully independent nonprofit that depends on people like you and me to continue doing the work that we're doing, helping people become who they're created to be. Right now, culturally, I think you know this, that we are living in a really divided society. And we really see the need for communities like the Orchard to grow and to thrive, communities that teach us third ways of seeing beyond the sort of dualistic this versus that lens of things, allowing a space for people to learn how to live out values like peacemaking and wholeness. And so if you've been listening and watching and participating in this work, we would invite you to possibly contribute to financially if you feel led. And there are three ways that you could do that. If you're watching live, you can click the little give button in the chat, or you can go to theorchardcommunity.com/give. You can also download our app on the App Store on either major App Store platform and get access to all sorts of resources. And you can set up recurring giving that way. Or third, you can always mail a check to us at the Orchard Community at P.O. Box 7688 Aurora, Illinois 60507. Thank you again, friends, for being with us. We will continue this conversation next week. We hope you join us. Now, Would you receive this blessing as you head out into the world? In the woven tapestry of life, may you find the golden threads of connection that bind you to the earth and the sky, to the whispering trees and the restless seas. In the quietness of your soul, may you hear the soft murmurs of community echoing in the chambers of your heart, guiding you to give, to receive in sacred balance. As the river leans on the shore and the moon relies on the pull of the earth, may you lean into the embrace of others, finding strength in vulnerability, wisdom in unity. In the dance of day and night, may you see the beauty of interdependence, where each moment, each being is a gift and a receiver, a song and a listener. In this intricate web, may you find peace, knowing that you are but a single note in the divine symphony of existence. Yet without you, the music would be incomplete. Peace and light. Be well, friends. We'll see you soon.